I'd like to welcome everybody to the Parsha class on Chayesara, 5770. That's good to know because that'll help you get into the base midrash so you can come to class next week. 5770. We are learning this year all about prayer. That's our theme. And we're trying to find a connection in the Parsha. And we're also, I am also attempting to share with you things that I've learned from a sefer called Sha'arim B'Tfila, which I guess translates as Gateways in Prayer. It's a contemporary sefer written by a rabbi and a scholar who's no longer with us, but he wrote the book in 1992. And for the first time, perhaps, since we started, I'm going to actually try to explain the format and the structure of this prayer, of this book on prayer. It's going to come up in our discussion. But let's first start off with the Parsha. This week it's easy to find connections to prayer because I believe that there are two very prominent prayers in the Parsha. The first one, we hear all of the words of it. It may have slipped by a reader who might think that it's not a prayer. It's more like a deal, but the commentators say that it is a prayer. And I refer to in the story of Eliezer, who travels to Haran to find a suitable wife for Yitzchak, where Eliezer arrives and he starts talking with Hashem. And he says the following, chapter 24, verse 12. Eliezer has just arrived to his destination, and he's standing out in the fields where there are wells. Vayomar, and he says the following to Hashem. Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham, Hashem the God of my master Abraham, Hakreina Lefonai Hayom, may you so arrange it for me this day, Va'asei chesed im Adoni Abraham, that you do kindness with my master Abraham. And then he goes on to state his request. His request is that a certain maiden should come forward. We all know the story. And see that he has just arrived, that he's a guest, a visitor, and he's been traveling, and he's tired and thirsty. So she will offer him, he will ask for some water, and she will offer water to him and to all the camels. And he says, and then I will know that this is the suitable wife that you have chosen for Yitzchak. Now, did you know that was a prayer? Did I know it was a prayer? I'm not so sure. But Rashi says explicitly that it is. Rashi and many of the other commentators do as well. All right, I won't quote the Rashi right now. But that's referred to as a prayer. In fact, this is very useful because there's a famous question on this, what Eliezer was saying, that some people say this is like a form of sorcery. Sorcery is not the right word, where he's looking for signs. And Maimonides writes that it is forbidden for a Jew to look for signs. Right. So they say, well, wasn't Eliezer looking for a sign? You know, if this thing happens, then I know that this is the right one. So one answer is, no, he wasn't looking for a sign. He was praying. He was asking Hashem to allow this to happen. Now, when you're talking to Hashem, that's not a sign. A sign is when you try to find, seek guidance outside of the realm of Hashem, where you're looking to some type of supernatural other force. But when you're asking Hashem, that's not a violation of signs. So, and I think they say it's a prayer. This is a proper prayer. You ask Hashem, you can ask Hashem for whatever you want. Anyway, so I regard this as one of the first prayers in the Torah. So it's very instructive, and we should study it to gain insight into what prayer is. Let me tell you where the other one is, and then I'm going to make an observation that's common to both of them, And that'll be our first point. The other prayer is at the end of the parsha. And this one is not so obvious, but according to our oral tradition, it's actually more prominent than Eliezer's prayer. The end of the story is when Rivka and Eliezer are returning back from Haran to the land of Israel, and she is going to meet her Bashert, Yitzchak. So the Torah describes the scene. By Yitzchak, Ba Mibo. This is chapter 24, verse 62, one of the longest chapters in the Torah. Yitzchak. Now Yitzchak came from having gone Be'er Lachai Ro'i to Be'er Lachai Ro'i, certain well. Behu Yoshev Be'eretz HaNegev, where he dwelt in the south country. Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basade. This is the pasuk I really wanted to quote. Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basade Lifnos Arev. Vayiso Eino Vayar V'hineg Malim Bo'im. Yitzchak went out to supplicate in the field. This is the translation that Art Scroll gives. To supplicate, Lasuach means to supplicate in the field towards evening. He raised his eyes and saw, and behold, camels were coming, and those are the camels that carried Rivka. Okay. Says the Gemara, and this funny, this word, lasuach, to supplicate, is not a common word in this usage. So, just to confirm that this is our second incident of prayer, I quote Brachos, Talmud Brachos, 26b. Tanya Kavasei Rav Yosef Barabi Chanid. Let me do the English here. A Braisa was taught in accordance with the opinion of Rav Yosef, the son of Rabbi Chanina. Avraham instituted the Shacharis prayer. Now listen to this. This is a very fundamental passage of the Talmud. Avraham instituted the Shacharis prayer, as it is stated, and Avraham arose early in the morning to the place where he had stood. Okay, it doesn't say anything explicitly about prayer. He arose early in the morning and to the place where he had stood. Now, the Gemara continues. Standing in this verse refers to nothing other than prayer. In other words, when you see the word in the Torah and somebody stood, it's quite possible that that means he was praying. As it is stated elsewhere, Pinchas stood up and prayed. Thus we see an association between standing and prayer. Indeed, what do we call our silent prayer? The Amidah, the standing. Literally, that's what it means. So Avraham instituted the prayer in the morning because it says he rose up early. Now Yitzchak instituted the Mincha prayer, as it is stated, and Yitzchak went out to speak, all right, that's the word that Art Scroll translated as supplicate, in the field towards evening. The word is Sicha. Sicha quite literally means speaking or conversing. And then the Talmud substantiates this, and speech in this verse means nothing other than prayer, as it is stated. Tefillah l'ani ki ya'atof v'lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho, a prayer of the afflicted man when he swoons, and before Hashem he pours forth his speech. Thus we see an association with speech and prayer, pouring forth his speech before Hashem. That can only be, you know, those, you're not speaking with another person, you're speaking with Hashem. And thus, lasuach, to speak or to converse, in this verse, is associated with the speaking of the afflicted man in Tehillah, that's in Psalms, and that refers to prayer. When did Yitzchak do this prayer? Lifnos Erev, towards evening. Thus, we have a source now for the Mincha. Mincha is ideally done at the end of the afternoon, not first thing, but towards evening. Yaakov instituted the Maariv prayer, as it is stated, Vayifka b'makom v'yalen sham. This will be in Parshas Vayetze in 2 weeks. And he encountered the place and spent the night there. What is the word encountered or pigia? The term pigia refers to nothing other than prayer, as it is stated. And you do not pray for this people, do not take up for them a cry and a prayer, and do not tifka me, do not entreat me. And so we see that that is also associated with prayer, and that was done in the evening. Thus we have a source for Avraham praying in the morning, Yitzchak praying in the afternoon, and Yaakov praying in the evening. Says the Talmud, this is the source from Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv.
Very nice.
Okay? All right. So what do we have? We have two prayers in the Parsha, the Eliezer prayer and the Yitzchak prayer. What I thought was more than amusing, but actually amazing, not amusing, but amazing, is that both of these prayers were answered immediately. Immediately. With Eliezer's prayer, which we now know is a prayer, it says, verse 15, and it was when he had not yet finished speaking that suddenly Rebekah was coming out. He had not even finished his prayer. He was praying for the wife of Yitzchak to present herself. Even before he finished, she came out. That's a pretty quick answer, huh? It's like when you send an email and you get an automatic response. Usually that means we're not home. Here it means we're home, out of office. With Yitzchak's prayer, it says he went to converse, to pray, to supplicate in the field towards evening. And he opened, and he raised his eyes, and he saw camels coming, and there was Rivka. Now, we don't know what he was praying for, but guess what? One of the commentaries says he was praying for a wife. That's what he was praying for. And no sooner had he even gone out to pray, but his prayer was answered.
Oh, but he was praying for comfort over the loss of his mother, and that Rivka was that comfort.
Okay, good.
Just a thought.
Makes sense. But whatever he was asking for, he got it immediately. So I'd only like to point out, really this is by way of introduction, that the two prayers, not only do we see that there are two prayers in the Parsha, but that these two prayers are exemplary and exemplify what prayer is, because really that's what's supposed to happen. If a person makes the right kind of prayer, the answer is supposed to be right away. And this is not a guarantee. This is an ideal. I'm a student of the Torah. I'm reading this story. I said two people prayed and both of them were answered immediately. What does that tell me about the nature of prayer?
Yeah, that warranty.
That tells me that the way it's supposed to work, if everything is ideal, is that the prayer is supposed to be answered. So, you know, why am I saying this? You know, I don't want you coming to me and saying, well, Rabbi Goldberger, you said that the prayers are answered right away. Well, I prayed and I wasn't answered right away. So then I call into question what you said. I can say 101 explanations of why that didn't work. You know, maybe we're not on the level of Eliezer and of Yitzchak. But we certainly should think of prayer that way. We should think, what, as a person who prays, I should ask myself the question, well, my prayers don't get answered that fast. What should I do to make my prayers more like Eliezer and Yitzchak's, so that maybe I will get answered right away? Because that's how it's supposed to work. That's all I want to raise. That's all I want to... If we go into prayer thinking that it doesn't work, then there's no chance of it working. At least if we go into prayer with these stories, you know, in our back pockets, and say, "Well, Hashem, you answered Eliezer that fast, you answered Yitzchak that fast." How about me? Okay. That's really by way of introduction. That's a Vorspeis. I'll take questions at the end. Now, here's a question that I would like to ask by way of introducing you to this Sefer that we're going to be studying from this year. Sharim bin Bila. The format of this Sefer is very similar in a way to the Mesilas Yesharim that we had studied for 2 years. It takes a passage out of the Talmud, happened to be a statement from the Talmud, Avodah Zarah, tractate Avodah Zarah, by Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. And Rabbi Pinchas said that there is a pathway of religious, spiritual development from the beginning of the path until the highest rung. And he enumerated all the steps. Remember, Torah, and Zahirus, and Zerizus, on and on. Rabbi Luzzatto wrote a book to explain each of those steps. Right? That was the way he made his book. In a similar vein, Rabbi Pinchas, who is the author of this Sefer, and apparently there was another rabbi who had done this same years before him, what they did is they found another passage from Midrash, which is just as same as Talmud, just as authoritative, and that Midrash also states a list. And that list, this Midrash appears in two different versions, but the first version is that there are 10 terms with which prayer is referred in the throughout the writings of the Torah and the prophets and everything, and then it lists 10 different terms: shava'a, tze'aka, ne'aka, rina, pigia, bitzur, kriya, nipul, pilul, tachnunim. I'm not going to translate them all because that's not so easy to do on one leg. And then there's another version that actually has 13, adding the three Amida, Chiloi, and Chanun. And the Midrash cites verses that bears all of these out. So what's the purpose of the Sefer? To take each term and explain it. And explain the differences, the nuances. What's the difference between a prayer known as a Shava'ah and a prayer known as a Tzaka? So just like Rabbi Luzzatto explains each step in depth, Rabbi Pinchas explains each type of term for prayer in depth. And that's what we'd like to gain a better understanding of. What that is supposed to do is supposed to increase and enhance our appreciation for prayer and the various shades of prayer. It's fascinating. Now, the reason why I mention this to you at this time is because the Talmud that we just studied presents a major problem, because we were just introduced to prayer in three terms also. We learned that Abraham's prayer was referred to as Amida, standing before God. That's a term of prayer, the prayer of standing. We also learned the term of Yaakov's tefillah. It was called pigia, or maybe entreatment. Another term for prayer. And we also learned Yitzchak's term for prayer. And that's called sicha, or conversing, most literally. Well, guess what? Amida is in the list of 13. Pigia is in the list of 13. Sicha is not. So my question is, how come Yitzchak's term didn't make it into the Midrash?
Really?
You know, Mincha, we're talking about one of the three major prayers. These three prayers have much more prominence in the perpetuation of this tradition than a lot of the other ones. So how come one of the three main prayers, which is referred to in the Torah as Sicha, is not listed among the various shades of prayer? Now, it would be totally presumptuous of me to try to offer an answer, because I'm just at the beginning of learning about these different terms. So who am I to try to say, well, I'll tell you why the Midrash didn't have number 14, Sicha, as if I understood all the other 13. I would be totally presumptuous of me. But I'll do it anyway. Because I've got to have something to say.
I gotta
have something to say. I just want to point out, just so you can appreciate a little bit what it means to have different shades of prayer. One of the terms is tzedakah, which is crying out.
Mm-hmm.
That is like a prayer that comes when somebody is crying out for some type of pain or some type of urgent need. But there's another word called rina. Rina is singing. And that's when you're praying with praise and thanksgiving. So you see how, you know, the general word prayer has so many different possible meanings. And then there's, each one is a different shade, a different stripe, and a different color and a flavor. So it's really fascinating, the prospect of learning about these things. But Sicha is not one of them. So I'd like to take a stab at it as to maybe why Sicha is left out. And I don't even take this answer so seriously, but it's just fun to think this way. Thank you for listening in advance. So Sicha means what? Conversation? You know, in modern Hebrew, if you want to have a discussion with somebody, you'll say, Bo'u nesocheach kitzat. Let us converse. The word sicha is commonly used for conversation between people. And there's a question asked concerning this passage of the Talmud, where it says, it cites the verse in Tehillim that tefila lo'ani ki ya'atof, the prayer of the afflicted man when he swoons, v'lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho, and before Hashem he pours forth his speech. Another use of the word sicha in connection with prayer. And there is a question that the commentators ask is to why we have two different proof texts, two verses which substantiate the use of the word sicha for prayer. We have the term of Yitzchak, sicha in the field, and we also have this verse in Tehillim of the poor man pouring out his sicha, pouring forth his speech. And apparently the Talmud relies on both of them to create the context. So let me share with you just a little commentary on that, and then we'll bring it back to our question. This is from the Tosfos. Tosfos is one of the commentaries on the Talmud. Tosfos says that if we only had the verse from Yitzchak, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh, Yitzchak went out Lasuach, we would have no idea that he's praying. Because it doesn't say that he spoke to God. It doesn't say anything. In fact, some commentaries say maybe he was just going to check the vegetation, because the term siach is used in the Torah in Bereishis to refer to vegetation. So some people say maybe he was just going to check the garden. There's really nothing explicitly that says he prayed. It doesn't say anything about Hashem. So we really do need to bolster this interpretation of this word to be prayer. We really need that verse in Tehillim to clarify. There it says explicitly, the afflicted man prayed when he poured out to Hashem his sicha, his speech, his conversation. We really need that verse to establish firmly that sicha also refers to man conversing with Hashem. If we just had the verse in our parsha, it would not be conclusive. We need that additional reference from Tehillim. However, that's not sufficient on its own either. Because if we only had the verse that says that the afflicted man pours out his speech before Hashem, you wouldn't know that sicha can encompass a formalized prayer. You might think that that's like a personal thing when a man says, "Oi, I've got so much on my mind, I've got to go talk to Hashem." And so he goes out and he does sicha. He just spills, like we say, he spills his guts. That's how we would have interpreted that verse in Tehillim were it not for our verse. Our verse clarifies that sicha is in reference to a formal prayer where Yitzchak says, it's a time of day, it's time to pray to Hashem, it's mincha time, I'm going to go into the field and I'm going to do a sicha before Hashem. It's not something haphazard, it's something planned, something formal, maybe even has a format, formalized. Sicha, therefore, is a cross between a conversation and a formalized prayer. Now, we come full circle. Perhaps the reason, and don't take this answer so seriously, but perhaps the reason that sicha is not listed in the Midrash as one of the terms of prayer is because all of the other terms are specialized. Like we said, there are a certain stripe, a certain flavor, a certain aspect of prayer. Is it possible that sicha is the general, the most encompassing, the most general definition of prayer? Conversing with Hashem. Maybe that doesn't lend itself to that list. Maybe sicha, of all of the different terms that the Torah uses, maybe sicha is just the simple, just the all-encompassing word. Now, I know you're going to say, no, the all-encompassing word is tefillah. Tefillah. That's the most general word for prayer. Everything else is a subset of tefillah. I'm suggesting everything else is a subset of sicha. Well, guess what? Tefillah is one of those 10 terms. That's actually in a different grammatical form, tefilul. That means judging. And therefore, tefillah is also a specialized word. Maybe sicha is more general. Maybe the essence of prayer is that a person converses with God the way people converse with one another, but you're doing it with God. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's not one of those 10 or 13, it's the catch-all. Maybe Yitzchak's prayer was so fundamental, so what's the word when something is the prototype, prototypical, that it doesn't even make it to a list of specialties. That's my humble, not serious suggestion. That the essence of prayer is man conversing with God. Rabbi, and I know that this is, there's something to this, because Rabbi Pinkus, in his introduction to this book, he says, and this is what we discussed the first time we opened up this topic, that prayer is really a conversation with God the way people converse with one another. That was what we, in the first class, I think it was Hazinu. And he says that you have to, when you're praying, you have to be in, as if you're communicating with God. You're thinking about Him. Remember we talked about, don't just talk at Him, talk with Him. Think about Him, think about how He sees you, and talk, and communicate. Look at each other, so to speak, face to face. Rabbi Pinkus says, this is a prayer. Prayer is a tête-à-tête, a conversation between man and God. And therefore, I don't know if it's far-fetched to suggest that maybe sicha is a prototypical term. It's not a specific term. Now, just to end off, it begs the question then, because if sicha means a conversation, it seems somewhat forced and somewhat artificial to then take a word like sicha and say this is the source for the mincha prayer. The mincha, of course, being formalized, and you've got to say the Shmoneh Esrei, which is a pre-selected text. And when it's time for mincha, you've got to say these 18 or 19 brachas in this order, you bow at this time, and you do it, you know, exactly in this way. And if you want, you can add a few personal prayers on the side. But primarily, mincha is a formalized prayer. In fact, the essential defining feature of prayer is that it's personable, that it's a conversation. Wouldn't you expect it to be something more personal, more intimate? Like the poor man pouring out his heart. He's afflicted. He's got his own sorrows. He doesn't want to merely limit, or maybe he doesn't even feel like doing the Shemona Esrei. He just wants to tell Hashem what's on his mind. That's what a sicha is. When I want to talk to you because I've got things on my mind, I just want to talk and say my own words. If prayer is formal, then why is it a sicha? Why is it a conversation? It should be a proclamation, a reading, it should be something a little bit more formalized. And sicha has the connotation of more personal. And this is something that everybody wonders. You know, what's the idea? I'm supposed to pray to God in a personal way, and then you tell me to read these words. I can't even pronounce them. You know, my mouth trips up on them. What's the idea? And I'll just leave you with this final thought. The idea is that the sages, with their Ruach HaKodesh, with their divine insight and inspiration, they wrote the Shemona Esrei. And in the Shemona Esrei, on the highest level, is contained all of the thoughts and the aspirations of a Jew. If a Jew would only be aware of what's important and what's central, and he really felt it, he totally identified with all of the cosmos and the metaphysical spheres, he would understand the ways of God and man and messianic times and history and everything. If he would be so in tune with that, then, and he wanted to pour his heart out, what he was feeling personally and intimately, and he wanted to pour it out like two people talking to each other, you know what would come out? The Shemona Esrei. And that's how Yitzchak davened. Yitzchak was so in tune with Hashem that when he went to the field to unload and to pour his heart out, what came out was Shemona Esrei. Right. And the sages are saying that all Jews should aspire to be like that. Now, in the meantime, when we're more worried about, you know, our aches and pains and our finances, 100% that is real, and a person has to pray for that, and a person has to include his own sicha. But we should daven the Shemona Esrei, because that is really ultimately the expression of a Jew pouring out his heart. That's what we should. That's what would come out of Yitzchak. Yitzchak, as we know, was He was selfless to the extent that he was willing to give himself up on the Akedah without flinching. So all he cared about was, you know, was will the Eibishter? What does God want? And so when he prayed and he poured out his heart, he poured out the Shemona Esrei. It was natural. So therefore, let us walk away and say, two things. Yes, should prayer be personable? Yes, should it be said with an emotion, with a natural feeling? Yes, 100%. In fact, perhaps the prototypical term for prayer is sicha, and it should be a sicha of a person pouring out his heart. But let's appreciate that Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh, he went out at the appointed time to say the Shemona Esrei, because the Shemona Esrei contains those thoughts and those prayers and those aspirations that should pour out of the heart of a Jew who is totally aligned with Hashem and with the big picture. So that's our lesson on prayer for Chayasara. Thank you. Thank you for the show.
Yashikar, very nice. So what you're saying then is that the general term for prayer, in the categories, the general term is sicha.
Yeah, I don't really believe it, because I've never heard this before, but that's my
sicha,
that's my
everything else
view
are
thing for today.
Specifics,
right.
Whether it's a tachanon or a pegiya.
Amida, pegiya, yeah.
The other thing about the Shemona Esrei, it seems that the word sicha appears in the Kedusha, you know, the central part, you know. You know, the divine, you know, the Shulim Zelazeh, no, what do they say? The Sod Shiach Sarfe Kodesh.
Ooh. In the Shabbos version. It depends if you're Nusach Ashkenaz or Sfarad. Yeah, on Shabbos. Very good. Sarfe Kodesh. Wow.
The Sarfe Kodesh. You're talking to each other.
Very nice. Yes. Very nice.
I had that one.
You get credit. You both get an
A. I had that ready.
Very good.
I had that ready.
Very good.
But no, it's good. I had that ready. But I have another question, though.
Yeah.
The Rebbe has a, you know, their books on the each Parsha. The Rebbe has his.
Sure.
And they call it Sichos.
Sichos.
Yeah, Sichos.
Right. Sichos, the Rebbe has Sichos, and then the classic in the yeshiva, you know, like Rav Yerucham, and when the Mashgiach would deliver a talk, it would be called a Sichas Musar.
Mm-hmm.
A Musar talk, a Musar conversation.
So that's
yeah.
The same.
Very nice. Oh, let me just end, I thought of an origin to kind of express all this. You know, it says in also in Tehillim, and I think it's in 119, Ma ahavti sorasecha, how I loved your Torah, kol hayom hi sichasi, all day long it is my conversation.
Uh-huh.
What that says is, with Torah study, that King David says, I love your Torah and it is my sicha. That's what I like to discuss. Mm. You know, I wanted to say this, people like to talk about what's interesting to them. Right, you get a person who's interested in sports, and he'll just talk to you sports all day. Or it could be politics, or it could be who knows what. It could be the stock market. A person's sicha is what he likes to talk about. It's what is on his mind. King David said, "My sicha is Torah." And what we're learning today is that prayer is also sicha. Talking to Hashem is like what is on our minds, and the Shemona Esrei is our sicha. This is what is on the mind of a Jew. That's what a sicha is, something which is personal. It's meaningful to you, and you just want to talk about it. Yeah. Let me take Wendy, because Wendy had her hand up before.
Just a couple of things. What I'm hearing, well, first of all, I want to go back. Initially, when you were talking about praying for a wife, it's my understanding that a man's first wife would be considered his parnasa. And I understood that to be a part of when we read certain things in the Torah, that if we hear about a wife, that it's not necessarily literally a female. That it
it could also be referring to his parnasa?
That's right.
Okay.
Okay, especially like a first wife versus maybe like Leia came forth and she was symbolic of the parnasa, and Rachel could have been the actual person he married with. All right, and then
I haven't heard that before, but I hear what you're saying.
Okay. And then Yitzchak, is my understanding, is the metaphor for the soul. So when you talk about the soul crying out or having this conversation, the soul is at the mercy, is my understanding, to the human being, the heart, the mind, in order to achieve its mission, because it can't do it on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there may be some connection there.
Okay.
And then that's funny. I had marked a prayer book. I wanted to show this to you. In the Kedusha, you're just referring to that. I noticed when I say juxtaposing letters, when I borrowed the letter from the word after the word before, it changed the words. And they were actually words again. So I can't remember what the, you know, how it was originally.
You'll have to show me that.
Okay. It came out as Akol Kala.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know if perhaps that meant the Sabbath bride, but it shifted the whole.
Okay. You'll have to show that to me. That sounds interesting. Okay, good. Thank you.
When we when we look at prayer in the Bible or in the Torah, don't we have to take into account that it was a different setting? I mean, the setting at that time was the setting of prophecy. And so when you referred earlier to the fact that prayer was like answered instantly, wasn't that to some extent a function of the time?
Yeah. The time and also the people that did it.
And the people that did it.
Yeah. That's I say, I'm not making any guarantees here.
Right.
But I just think it's interesting that maybe that's the way it's supposed to be.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Sure.
For prayer? Is praying a mitzvah?
It is, well, it's a little bit of a discussion amongst the halachic authorities. At the very least, well, my understanding is that it is a mitzvah from the Torah to pray to Hashem every day, but that there's no particular format for that from the Torah perspective. But the rabbis came along and made the formalized prayer and the times based on the way our patriarchs did it. They made that mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you know, if you look at the corpus of halacha, Jewish law, which incorporates both Torah legislation and rabbinic legislation, yes, it is a mitzvah to pray. And it is a mitzvah to use this format.
Unless we go back to the Shema, and the Shema, and maybe prayers derived from that.
Well, except that Shema is not, believe it or not, it's a Torah, biblical mitzvah to read the Shema, but Shema is not regarded as a prayer because you're not addressing God. It's a proclamation, it's an affirmation of kind of like a Jewish creed.
It's a declaration. Mm-hmm.
It's not a prayer. You're not addressing God.
Shema Yisrael.
Shema Yisrael. It's saying, listen, Israel.
It's
Moshe saying to the Jewish people, you know, it's like our creed. It's like our...
But what I'm saying is that to love God is the mitzvah.
Oh,
maybe prayer is an expression of that.
More so in the second paragraph when it says, and to serve him with all of your soul and with your heart. In the second paragraph, the Talmud says that is a reference to the obligation to pray.
Yeah.
I think Dr. Schultz and then Dr. Brickman. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are many names for Hashem.
Yeah.
Because we construe Hashem in so many different ways.
Okay.
So it's not surprising to me that there are many nuances in names for prayer.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Very nice.
Because we're looking at Hashem.
Very good.
In different ways.
Very good. It's nice. That's a very nice comment. Yeah.
I just want to say that it's, you know, we say that it happened instantly. But I have in my mind that Yitzchak knew that his father sent Eliezer out to get a bride for him. And I don't think it's too hard to understand how he went out every night to the field to pray for that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
I mean, you know, so it didn't happen instantly, maybe.
The first night.
Or the second, or the third, or the fourth. And then, well,
okay.
I mean, I think that's
right.
What happened.
That's
I mean, it's nothing wrong with that.
That's
you
valid.
Should pray for things that are good for other people,
right.
Not just for yourself. But I think that's...
Maybe that's the idea. We should pray all the time so that whenever our prayers are answered, we can say it's instant. I just prayed for it.
You know, you jump when, you know, when opportunity knocks.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know when to jump? You know,
yeah.
You jump. Yeah, you're supposed to do that.
Okay.
So that's the way I see it.
Very good. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. The way I learned.
Brown.
Yeah. I think I'm
Dr. Shulman. You wanted to meet each other.
Hi, Shulman. I heard so much about you. Anyway, the way I learned the Shmona Esrei was we have to talk about what is prayer. Learning Shmona Esrei, there are three approaches. One is petitionary, where you're asking for something, and that's the body of the Shmona Esrei. You know, I want this, I want that, I want this, and I want that. But before you even do the petition, you have to have an adoration.
Right.
You have to say how great God is, and he's the God of our ancestors, and he revives the dead, and angels talk to each other. That's petition. That's the second
part.
And the third is thanks, God.
Mm-hmm.
You even before you get the answer, it says thank you for what you're going to do for me, even if you don't.
Well, if it were answered instantly, then it might be after the fact.
right.
By the time you get to the thanks, it's already been...
Puts it in perspective.
But you told us
it's that. It's like a letter to your boss.
You told us that.
Right.
Boss,
right.
You're great. Please
right.
Give me
a raise.
Thank you very much
for the raise. Like that. Exactly right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.